Today's podcast is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official healthcare provider of Rutgers Athletics.
Try to answer anything I can for you.
Greg, the way you guys seem to physically dominate Michigan in the second half, does that change how you and the staff move forward this year, that you maybe are more confident you can match up straight up with some of these Big Ten teams?
You know, I don't know if we didn't think we could before. I think the Big Ten is a very tough league, and every game is its own entity. So you can't say, well, because you were able to do that in the second half, that you'll be able to do that against somebody else. As I said to you, I think I said this after the game, up front, it is such a battle that if you are just a little bit off with your hand placement, a little bit off with your focus and your eyes, it doesn't take much to get dug out of a gap. It doesn't take much to get washed out of a gap. And when that happens, that's when plays occur. So it really is. I mean, everybody talks about the physicality. That's absolutely the most important because it's a battle. But it's got to be a precise physicality too. Otherwise, you create issues. So we need to be really physical and really precise. And, you know, Michigan's line was very good, and Ohio State's maybe better. So here we go.
Greg, you always talk about the battle up front. One guy I want to talk about a little bit about is Troy Rainey. He made the transition from offensive line to defensive line to offensive line. Can you talk about that transition, what went into that, and then what you saw from him on Saturday?
Well, Troy, you know, it was very important that Troy stepped up in that game because we certainly needed him, right, with Reggie going down. We've made the move with, you know, several guys just to try to bolster the offensive line. It's you know, I've discussed it before, that was a position when we arrived here that we really felt we needed to gather some troops. Just pure numbers, we didn't have enough. I think some of the guys who have transitioned over from defense, it's worked out nicely. Some of them are a work in progress still. But we needed Troy, and I thought he stepped up. And, you know, it was his first game. He made a lot of mistakes, but he also played very hard. And, you know, I've over the years, you just see it happen over and over again. If you play really hard, even when you make mistakes, sometimes you fall into some stuff. And that's kind of what happened there.
Greg, does your experience at Ohio State impact the way you coach against them? Maybe not from an X's and O's standpoint, but just from a mindset that, you know, this isn't David versus Goliath, that you know their talent, you know the talent that you have, and that you don't need to, you know, be intimidated by him or anything like that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's been 3 years now, so I'm kind of removed. You know, a lot of the players that are playing I still have knowledge of, but they've changed. Like, we all change, right? So I don't want to ever use my frozen in time memory. We played them last year, though, so I think that's as good a tool to use for evaluation as anything is, you know, how did it look last year? How's it looked this season so far? But there, you know, there's several changes each year. There's changes in staff, there's changes in players. So you just have to stay current.
Greg, just after these four games, I mean, have you kind of seen the week to week progress on the offensive line that you wanted to see overall, or is it close to where you hoped it would be at this point in the season? I mean, where do you kind of evaluate that?
We're making progress. It's not close to where I want it to be. No. But we're making progress. And again, if you can continue to go in the right direction, eventually you'll get it where you want it to be. But we have a long way to go.
Hey, Greg, could you just talk a little bit about, as you're developing a program, growing that 12th man at home, particularly in this league against a Big Ten team where you know when you go to their place, it's going to be a challenging environment?
I think that's a great question because I think we're doing just that. You know, we've had two home games, and, you know, I'm very focused on what we're doing, but I spend time on that part of the program with people that's their job, but I do spend some time on that because when you build a program, as you're mentioning, it's everything. It's the recruiting, it's the coaching, it's the scheme, it's also the game day environment. You know, it's the students are so important. You know, this is a college football team at a awesome AAU university, and I want our students to have something that they can come here, be proud of first of what we do on the field, but enjoy the day. And we got a great student section, And I've been really proud of them. They've gotten here. We've had some early games. They've gotten here. We had some games that, you know, I'm really proud when I look up there in our warm-ups and they're in there. That to me is really cool. And especially when we had the early game and they were there. Like people say they won't do that. Well, they did that day. And that's what we need. And then I kind of like can hear the crowd having their own things. And I'm in the huddle talking, but I can just hear a bunch of stuff going on in the stadium while the play is stopped. And that to me is, that's what college kids want to do. They want to have fun, make it a fun day for them. And that's what, you know, we have people that do a great job of promoting that. And I'm proud of the way they're doing that. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's going to happen here. And it's going to be a lot of fun to go to a Rutgers football game. That's, you know, starts with winning. I get that. But then there's more to it than just that.
Greg, you lost Reggie last week. Can you just talk about that, any update? And you got Patrice back. What was it like to get him in the lineup and his performance?
Yeah. Well, Reggie's going to need surgery, and he's going to be done for the year, which is sad because he really is a fine player, and it's sad any time a kid has to do that. But he's a strong guy mentally, and he's going to fight through it. And, you know, we got the best care for him, so – we just hope that that he can heal up and get back with us. Patrice, I thought, did a good job, right? He hasn't played in a game for Rutgers. He steps up in a big game, and I thought played well. You know, sometimes at a cornerback position, if your number isn't talked about, you did a pretty good job. You covered your guy. Maybe you didn't make the play, but they didn't make the play either. So good start by him. I anticipate him just getting better and better. He's a veteran guy. You know, he's a sixth-year guy. He just hasn't been with us. But you know, he's a guy that we count on.
Kind of like the perfect time, because obviously game the other day, the way that it went, kind of, you said it kind of slipped away a little bit, and now you get to test yourself against another Big Ten power at home. I mean, is this kind of the right perfect opportunity right now?
I just think the Big Ten period every week. I mean, you're playing in what I think is the elite conference in college football, right? And so what week isn't that? You know, some teams or a little, I liken it very much to the NFL, my time there. Any team can beat any other team in this league on any given Saturday.
With are you going to maybe add more guards back to the rotation now that you only had Troy and Cedric on Saturday, or are you going to stick with the guys you have right now?
All depends if guys earn that. You know, if we think that putting another guy in the rotation helps us be better on the O-line, then we will. If we don't, it's all about competition. And, you know, are we always right? No, of course not. But we spend a lot of time studying it and evaluating it, and we think that, you know, what we did Saturday was the best thing. Again, you don't always know. We waited to see how Troy played as well. We were ready to do it, but we thought he was doing well. And, you know, the game, the way it went Saturday, the nice thing about national television games is the commercial breaks are longer. Right, so you look up at the clock and it's 3 minutes and 40 seconds until you come out of the break. That's real time rest, right? So it's not a fatigue issue. I mean, we practice a heck of a lot harder than the game from a conditioning standpoint.
Your third down defense, how has that, you know, improved as much as it has from last year? And then, you know, do you look at Ohio State, how good they are efficient on third down? Is that one of the keys to this game?
Yeah, I think there's several keys, but that's always one, right? I mean, third down offense and defense, are, you know, it keeps you on the field, keeps the drive going, or you get off. And we certainly make a big deal of it around here on both sides of the ball. And I think in modern college football, it's become third and fourth down defense because so many people are going for it more than they used to, including us. And, you know, part of that's the analytics. Part of that is, you know, it's harder to get the ball in the end zone. You get an opportunity, you want to keep it going. Aggression, I don't know what it is, but it's happening across college football. So I think third and fourth down defense and third and fourth down offense are really critical in every game.
Greg, you spoke about Troy, but Harlan Pierce next on both second-year guys. Can you talk about his progression over the course of this year, actually since he's come here?
I mean, Harlan's a tremendous story, right? I mean, you just – literally, you know, the season gets postponed, then we get started again. I come down the stairs from the practice facility and there's this big guy standing in the parking lot. He said, "Coach, I'm admitted to Rutgers and I'd like to come on the team if I could. Okay. You're probably going to have to lose some weight and get in shape, but sure, if you know, let me check it out. And we did, and you know, some of the coaches knew of him because the coach had called on his behalf. And all he did was come in here and, I don't know, lose 50 or 60 pounds and work like a maniac. And he looks up and he's starting at the right tackle against Michigan. So I think those are pretty cool stories, right? So you have two young, young guys playing on that side. We need them to just keep getting better and better every week.
Talking about the game day atmosphere, fans might not see it, but the lights that you have down in the tunnel, what does that do for your team? Does it pump them up before the game? And can you just talk about how that came about?
Sure. Like I said, we have people that handle game day and handle that kind of stuff. And one of the things that was brought to my attention, I've been in places where we've done that. You see pro football teams that have that. It's a cool thing for our players. Sure it is. You know, there's music thumping in the tunnel, and you know, there's no feeling like coming out in your home stadium, coming out of that tunnel. I never really got to do it at this level as a player. I've done it as a coach. And, you know, I know those kids just, it's such a rush to come out into your fans. And really all it does is it kind of starts that process just a little bit earlier in that tunnel. And it's been something I think the players like. You know, they work so hard. I like to, if I can do something that makes them feel good, I like to do that. So,
do you turn it off for like a visiting game? Can you even do it that quickly?
Yeah, I'm not real involved in that, Keith. Okay. But yeah, I know we turn it off because I said I don't want it for the other team. They said no, coach, that won't be for the other team. Right? Yeah, right. Because we use the same tunnel here, which is always presents interesting issues. You know, but yeah. All right, guys. Thanks.